Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate that very, very much, and certainly appreciate the good music this evening, the opportunity we have to be together here on this eve of our nation's 242nd birthday. Hard to believe, isn't it? 242 years. When we look at the vast scheme of history, that seems very short. When we think about how much God has done here in our nation, we have certainly much to be grateful for this evening. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We will have an outline on the screen tonight, so if you want to follow along with that, you're welcome to do that. I want to speak to you on our responsibility as citizens tonight, our responsibility as citizens. My wife and I, in 1976, we got married in May of 1976. We're young Bible college students. And that year, in July, was the 200th birthday of America. And I'm going back in my mind, remembering, as a young Bible college student, how much preaching was done back in those days, the trouble America was in. And how most preachers didn't think America could go on much further because of just all the things that we were dealing with, all the sin and all the blight in spiritual aspects of America. I do think, though, that preaching back in those days was a motivation for many of God's people to begin to pray seriously, get down to some business about God and what was happening in our nation. And many of us remember 1980 when Ronald Reagan came into the White House, and there was really a change back in those days. I remember as just a younger man that just the patriotism with him coming to the presidency, we kind of lost that. Back in the 70s, we lost our patriotism. We lost our love for America, and it's almost like everything was down. And then Ronald Reagan got elected, and all of a sudden we were proud to be Americans again, and he brought that sense of patriotism. Maybe even spoke, if you would, about the Christian aspect of America and was unashamed to mention God and ask God to bless America. And so we saw some of those things. And I was thinking the other day, the things that I've lived through, you know, I have to tell you that as a child, I was born just at the end, as a couple of years after the Korean War had come to an end. I was born during, just after my birth, the Vietnam War came to a conclusion. And just before I graduated from high school, it was wrapped up. But in my lifetime, I saw the felling, if you want to say it that way, the Berlin Wall, the breakup of the former Soviet Union. We've lived through, obviously, Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield. We remember, don't we, many of us tonight, the attack on America in September of 2001 and the 2,800 people that died there. I think about the Iraq War that took place beginning in 2003 and the fall of Saddam Hussein and the liberation of Iraq and of course, all the things that have still playing out over there in the Middle East. I was thinking that I've lived through 12 presidents. 12 presidents have been in my lifetime up to this point. And so I share these things with you tonight to say that America, in many respects, is a great land. We'd say that. We would say this is a great land that we live in. And we're glad that our nation is our home. We're proud to be Americans tonight. And I'm going to be thankful tomorrow to be able to march in a parade on July the 4th that celebrates our nation's birthday, and we still have liberty to pass out gospel literature and to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and so that's something to be proud of as an American tonight. But we also be very foolish this evening to think that our nation, as wonderful as it is, that it doesn't have its problems. In fact, all of us tonight would agree that probably our nation has what we would call a boatload of problems, things that we're contending with tonight as a nation. We are very politically divided to the point of many in our nation calling for civil unrest against those who disagree with their positions. And there's still a lot of racial tension in our nation. And there's a unrest in our cities and even across even some of the rural areas in hostility towards our law enforcement officials. And there are the moral issues that are at play tonight here in America involving gender and involving young couples not marrying but just living together, and also same-sex marriage that now has been made the law of our land. And these things are causing problems for our nation tonight. Let's just face it, these are issues that cause problems for our nation. We have the immigration and border and security issues. These also are a concern for a lot of unrest. When I look at the White House tonight, I'm very grateful for some of the good things that our President Trump, has been able to accomplish in about a year and a half now that he's been the president of our nation, and I'm very grateful. But I'm certainly grateful for the fact that we're looking at another Supreme Court nomination. We look at that Supreme Court and we realize whoever sits in that White House has a tremendous impact when it comes to the longevity and some of the interpretations of our Constitution that affect all of our lives. And so we think about the fact that Neil Gorsuch has been put up on the Supreme Court, a conservative, and the fact that obviously even the last couple of decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court, we would say, praise God for those decisions. And just here recently, the justice has said that he's retiring. Justice Kennedy's retiring from the bench. So there's another opportunity. Somebody has suggested that there could be as many as 5 Supreme Court nominations during President Trump's term if he gets a second nomination or a second term in office. So I think about that, and I think to myself, and whether you agree with me or not, I'm thinking to myself, if Hillary Clinton was the president, heaven help us. The kind of judiciary that she would put upon the bench would certainly be something that you and I would strongly disagree with, would have a tremendous impact or a negative impact upon our lives. With those good things being said about our president, we also know that obviously this is a man that has some issues that he's dealing with. He's had a past, like all of us have a past, but unfortunately much of his past is continually brought up and stirred up, and that's not a good thing. He also continues to have what I call some thin skin, in the sense that he can't take criticism, although he is attacked almost every day for his positions. But I just wish that he would respond a little differently, you know, and just be a little bit more presidential in his response to some of those things. I look at our U.S. House and Senate and our representatives, and I want you to know tonight there are some good and godly men and ladies who serve in that capacity. We've been on Capitol Hill for the Capitol Connection, and we've heard from them who have these clear testimonies that they know Jesus Christ and that they believe that they're serving in the capacity where they are because they believe that's God's call upon their life. And we certainly need to pray for them tonight, because as they put their Christian principles into operation on a daily basis, you know that they're fighting against those who hate that. And there's many, many more that obviously who don't know Christ, who stand in opposition to them. And for the fact that they despise the Bible, they despise Christian conservative mindset. Now, I say all that tonight on the eve of our nation's birthday, because I think the answer isn't in the White House. I'm thankful for conservative presidents that have been elected, who have a right mindset and who understand some things about our past and understand the Christian heritage of this nation. I'm thankful for that, and so should you. The answer's not in the White House. It's not in the Capitol building. It is not in the governor's mansion. It's not in our mayor's office. The answer to the problems of America, ladies and gentlemen, is set in this auditorium tonight as the people of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is still in our Bible. And God said that if his people would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way and seek his face, God said he would heal our land. So as I think about that tonight, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, speaking to, obviously at that point, weren't Americans, but he was speaking to citizens who lived in a Roman culture. And we think about a corrupt government, think about the Roman government, how corrupt it was. And yet Paul admonished those who were believers to take some responsibility. And I want you to notice what he says tonight, please, as we look at it. He said, I exhort, therefore, first of all, if you're in the habit of underscoring things in your Bible, I'd encourage you to underscore first of all. I exhort thee, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, listen, be made for all men. But now he gets a little more specific. For kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may live quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Notice verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now let me just real quickly run through this tonight, because my whole idea tonight is to share with us our responsibility. At the end of the service, I want us to have a season of prayer, because I think that's what we're called for here in this particular passage. And I think if there's one thing that we probably don't do enough as Americans is pray for our nation and pray for those who govern over us and pray for our own lives, that we would be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. So notice, if you would, very quickly, and we'll run through the outline this evening. Notice, please, first of all, our responsibility is, number one, to pray for our civil leaders. To pray for our civil leaders. We find that in verses 1 through 3. Now, I want you to notice, please, as you think about praying for your civil leaders, there's a priority in this prayer. Notice that, please. The phrase, first of all, places a priority on this idea of praying. So there are a lot of things we can do. There are a lot of things that, you know, obviously we're marching in a parade tomorrow. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to march in a parade that celebrates your nation and be able to pass out gospel literature. And that's a good thing. There are other things that we can do. We can go to the polling places when it's time to vote. And by the way, if you're sitting here tonight and you're a citizen of this nation or you're 18 years of age and you're not registered to vote, shame on you. Shame on you. You need to get registered and you need to vote in every election, whether it's for the dog catcher, I don't care what it's for, you need to vote. You need to put into practice this idea that you are an American citizen and you have the right to vote and you can't complain about anything unless you go to the polling place. And so I just want to say those are some things we can do, but I want to tell you, first of all, the Bible here puts an emphasis, if you would, on praying. And notice the kinds of words that are used to speak of our prayer life. First of all, it uses the word supplications. That speaks of specific needs. And so we're to supplicate. We're to go to the Lord with specific needs. And specifically, we talk about tonight, about our nation and our leaders and the issues that are at play in our nation. We should be praying about this Supreme Court nomination. You talk about a dogfight, it's going to be a dogfight. I'm telling you right now, if Mr. Trump, our President Trump, puts up a conservative, it's going to be a dogfight as far as getting that person approved and on the bench. But we need to be praying about that. We need to be supplicating about that. And then notice the idea of prayers. That's just the idea of generally talking to God. We're just to talk to God about things and about issues and about things that are at play. And then notice, please, intercessions. That's praying for people and situations. So you may pray specifically for President Trump and Vice President Biden and for our Senator Brown and Senator Portman, and just pray specifically for them and for your state rep and your governors and all these things. We're just pray specifically for in intercession. And then we're to give thanks. Notice that, in giving of thanks. And so we need to thank God tonight for this great nation. We should. We need to be people who say, okay, well, I look at my nation, there's a lot of problems, but there's still a lot of things that you and I have tonight that no one else in this world has. And we ought to be thankful for the prosperity and for the blessings and the issues that God has given to us. And I'm just saying tonight, we need to be people of prayer who give thanksgiving. Then notice also in this idea of priority of prayer, that the people we need to pray for. Notice the Bible says for all men. So, you know, obviously we can talk about all men in a broad brush kind of stroke of things. And certainly we need to pray for our world. We need to pray for what's going on in our world and for the opportunities in our world. But notice it gets specific here. That's a general prayer for all men, but specifically for kings and those that are in authority. Those would be those who rule over us. And think about this tonight. They have a pretty tough job. It's not an easy job to be in politics today. You know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you're gonna be hammered. So there's a lot of pressure, and some people desire to do right, and they want to, but they face a lot of pressure to stand up for righteousness and for godliness. And so we need to pray for those who are Christians and ask God to help them to have the courage to stand and the ability to stand, and that God would help them to stand, and that they would know that there are people that are standing with them. So we need to pray about that. But also we need to pray for those who desire to do wrong, that God would keep them from that wrong. So we pray specifically. In times like these, we all better be praying for our president and governmental leaders. And again, we've talked about the Supreme Court nomination. It's very, very big. And so every decision, think about this, all the decisions and all the laws that are passed, we need to be praying for those things because they affect our lives. And God says very specifically here, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but there's a reason that we pray for these things. Think about the budget tonight. All of us sitting here, we're American citizens. We pay our taxes, and the government is running an operation that is huge, trillions and trillions of dollars. And every day, we're running over that budget. We're going over, and we're ballooning our debt, our national debt. We need to be praying about that. Somehow, some way, that thing could be pulled into some kind of manageable way of dealing with it, because it's going to be something that's going to have to be dealt with at some point. We need to be praying specifically about these things. Then notice the purpose for our prayers. We find that in verses 2 and 3. Notice what he says there. For kings and all them that are in authority, notice that we may live quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we should pray these things and pray for these leaders because we want to live a quiet and peaceable life. I don't know about you, but I like quiet. And I like peaceable. I don't like people marching in the streets, and in the sense of marching for wrong and breaking into stores and looting and causing destruction. And I don't like people who demonstrate it at restaurants when people are eating so that they can't even enjoy a meal with their family. I'm just thinking, I'm telling you, we need to pray that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. And then notice, please, because it's right in the sight of God. Well, if there's nothing else, it's right in the sight of God. That's what he says here, that you and I need to do this because it's right in the sight of God. Then notice, number two, not only we have to be praying, but notice if we, number two, we are to obey them. We're to obey civil leaders. We're commanded in Scripture. I'm going to throw some verses up here to show you these things. But Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto, what's this, higher powers. Now, higher powers, there's a reference to those who rule over us. So whether it's in the workplace or it's in the church house or it's in the governmental authorities, we are to pray for those who have higher powers. Notice that there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. You say, well, I don't like the person who serves in this capacity. Well, you have an opportunity to vote and exercise your vote. But if they have that position, understand that for some reason God has allowed that to happen. It doesn't mean that he has done it. It just means he has allowed it. And we need to pray for that person. We're commanded to obey them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Notice this, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors or to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm here to tell you tonight that of all people, God's people need to be the most law-abiding citizens that there are. We're to live by the laws of the land. Now, notice there's a reason that we're to obey them. Letter B, they receive their power and authority from God. They receive their power and authority from God. John chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me. Jesus speaking of a Pilate, he said, you can have no power against me except it were given you from above. So when we think about the investment of power, you know, God is not the author of confusion. So in order for us not to have confusion, there has to be some order. And God has put in place, and actually right after the flood, God established human government and told us that man is responsible to take care of responsibilities as far as humanity is concerned. And we have the establishment of human government. So they receive their power from God. But let me say, letter C, there is a time to disobey. There may come a time when we have to disobey civil authorities. You say, preacher, when would that be? Well, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. I know Peter was speaking to religious authority, but nonetheless it was authority. And here's what it says. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So anytime the government puts in place a law that, again, violates the Scripture, tells me that I have to do something that God says I can't do or I shouldn't do, then I have a right to resist that. And I have a right to stand up and say, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. We see pictures of that, don't we, in the book of Daniel chapter 3, where the three Hebrew children, after Nebuchadnezzar set up his big image on the plain of Dura and said, hey, when the music plays, everybody falls. And the music played and everybody fell but three guys. And they resisted the authority and said, I'm sorry, we just can't. And not only can't we can't, but we won't. And obviously God blessed them in that. And here we see the disciples resisting authority, saying, look, you passed the law. You're telling us to do something that God told us to do. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to obey God rather than man. So there's a time to disobey. Number three, we must honor them. We must honor them. Just one verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, I don't know what your thought is about our current president. As I said, there's an element of mine that I just am thankful for just some of the things that are going on and very, very grateful. But I want to tell you something. He is the president of the United States. And by the way, I said the same thing when President Obama was the president of the United States. I may disagree with him wholeheartedly, but he's still the president. And we have to honor the position and honor that position because God allows it to be. And so we need to honor them. Number four, that we must support them. We must support them. Jesus commanded us to give them what they were due. Jesus, confronted by a religious crowd, trying to bait him into an argument about taxes. Anybody here like taxes? Anybody here just can't hardly stand it when your tax bill comes and you get to sit down and write that check for whether it's property taxes or your income taxes? Most of us probably would rebel a whole lot more, complain a whole lot more about taxes if they didn't take it right out of our check. I mean, we'd have to write the check for it, but we don't. They take it out of our checks. But I'm just simply saying, nobody here likes paying taxes, just are thrilled about it. But the truth of the matter is, we're commanded to do so. We're commanded to give pay taxes. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21. They say unto him, Caesar's. He asked him about the coin. He says, whose image is this? And he says, Caesar's. Then he says, and then render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Certainly we couldn't live in this society, and we could not operate if we didn't have police officers and firefighters and people who obviously maintain law and order and watch over us. We have to pay for that. Somebody's got to pay for that. This is not a welfare state where we just get to suck it all up and not have to pay for it. No, we have to pay for our taxes. We're commanded to do so. Paul shares the reason we pay our taxes in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 6. He says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. And obviously, he's talking about, of course, the taking care of responsibility and being the governmental authority. Then number 5, and finally tonight, we have a responsibility to share our faith with them. Let's go back to our text here in 1 Timothy. Look at verses 4 through 6, please. The Bible says, we who will have all men to be saved. Now, time out for a moment. Anybody here think God doesn't want the president to be saved? Now, there are some people who believe that he's been witnessed to and maybe he has made a profession of faith. I don't know. Certainly, there's a difference in the President Trump that is today than the President Trump that was 5 or 10 years ago. So I don't know if the man's been saved or not, but I know that we need to pray for his salvation and somebody needs to witness to him. Because God wants all men to be saved, not just some men. Do not believe the lie of the Calvinists. God wants all men to be saved. That's his desire, that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. And so notice, please, he wants who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. And we know this, that there's not many ways of salvation. There's only one mediator, one who bridges the gap between God and man. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord God, our Savior. And then verse number 6, notice who gave himself, Jesus gave himself, a ransom for all. There again is an emphasis for all. Notice in verse number 6, to be testified in due time. How many of us would be so bold to say, hey, you know, at some point, I want to call my mayor, my community I live in. I want to ask for an appointment. And I want to see if he'll just let me have a few moments of his time just to share my faith with him or her or perhaps your councilman or the president of your city council. I'm fortunate. Brother Ron's my president of my city council. So thank the Lord he's saved. I don't have to share my faith with him, but God wants us to do that. We should not be fearful to share our faith. Look, I'm going to tell you, if you won't share your faith with your neighbor, you're probably not going to share it with your mayor. But is it clear that God says that we're to pray for them and we're to pray that they'll come to a knowledge of the truth? That's why God gave his son. And so we have a responsibility to share our faith. And we talk about this all the time, of carrying gospel tracts. And, you know, tomorrow we'll have the opportunity to hand out a lot of gospel literature. And I don't know if the mayor of Parma will be at that parade or not, but it would be wonderful to be able to place in his hand a copy of Curtis Hudson's book about heaven. Amen. That'd be wonderful for him to have that opportunity. But see, those are the things that we're to do as God's people. And we can. And we should. But I think the greatest thing that we have to do tonight, and that's the priority that is stated in the first, is that first of all, we need to have prayer. So here's how we're going to end the service tonight. We're going to end our service with a season of prayer. And here's what I want you to do. This altar is open. If you feel like you need to come to the altar, if you want to just grab somebody next to you, maybe just take a moment. And I've asked two men to lead us in prayer tonight. I've asked Brother Tim Hanrahan. Brother Tim, if you'll come to the platform, and Brother John Stover, if you'll come to the platform. And I've asked these two men. Brother Tim Hanrahan's a young father. He's got young children raising those kids. And I've asked him to come and pray for America for the sake of his children and for the sake of God's word. I'm sure as a father, he's concerned about his nation. Brother John Stover is like myself. He's a grandfather. He's raised his children. He's concerned about America and the heritage that we're leaving behind. And so I would say to you tonight that we want to pray for our nation. And so what I've asked these men to do, we're going to take about 2 or 3 minutes. I want you to find someone to pray with. and just spend a few moments and just praying together. In the altar, if you want to come to the altar and get on your knees here at the altar and just pray and ask God to bless America, pray for our president, pray for about this specific decision about the Supreme Court. Let's just pray that this doesn't become such an issue that we can't get anything done, that we're so deadlocked that we can't even get a person on the Supreme Court. We've got to get that done. And let's pray that it's a conservative. Let's pray that it's someone who understands that life begins in the womb and that life is precious in the sight of God, and that Roe v. Wade could be overturned and other ridiculous decisions that have been made perhaps can be dealt with. We need to pray specifically. The greatest thing that you and I can do tonight is pray. Pray for America. So let's take a few moments. You find someone to pray, 2 or 3 minutes. And then Brother Tim is going to come and lead us. And when he starts praying, that means you stop praying. And you listen and you join your heart with him in praying. Then Brother John Stover will come. And then at the end, I'll come and finish up here tonight. So let's go ahead and just bow our heads. And let's take a few moments to pray for our nation tonight.